Good morning, everybody. Well, I'm going to try. I'm just going to open a prayer real fast, if you could join me. God, you're so good. We don't deserve it, but you're so good to us. Lord, I pray that you would bless my words today. Anything that I say that's not of you, that you would not let it take root. I pray that you would open your heart, our hearts today, for anything that I say that's of you, Lord, that you would let it go deep. And that we would leave here today looking more like you, Lord. Amen. Okay, well, the title of my message is the Communion Invitation. As I was preparing for this message, I was thinking, okay, what can I say that hasn't been said before, that I haven't heard before in a communion message? So this is what I feel like the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. And I love, no matter how many times we've all heard the communion message, the Holy Spirit is going to teach us something new from it. Okay, so I'm going to start in Matthew 26, verse 17. I'm going to be jumping back and forth between the scripture and my notes a lot. So if you just follow along yourselves, it's going to be easier on you, I promise. And then once I'm done with all my scripture, I'm going to distill it all into three bullet points. And I'm reading from the Passion Translation. If mine sounds different from you, that's why. Alrighty, Matthew 26, 17. On the first day of Passover, the day when any bread made with yeast was removed from every Jewish home, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where should we prepare the Passover meal for you?" He answered them, "My heart longs with great desire to eat this Passover meal with you. Go into Jerusalem and you will encounter a man. Tell him that the teacher says, 'My appointed time is near. I'm coming to your home to eat the Passover meal with my disciples.'" The disciples did as Jesus has instructed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. So just to set the picture, the disciples, for the most part, are just excited and happy to be around Jesus. Nothing's being expected of them. They just get to follow Jesus along and just reap the benefits of it, right? They openly shower Jesus with their adoration and love during Passover. Keep this in mind, because I'm going to come back to it later. Continuing in verse 20, when the evening came, he took his place at the table and dined with the 12. While they were eating, Jesus spoke up and said, "One of you is about to betray me." Feeling deeply hurt by these words, one after another asked him, "You don't mean me, do you?" He answered, "It is one who has shared meals with me as an intimate friend. All that was prophesied of me will take place, but how miserable it will be for the one who betrays the Son of Man. It will be far better for him if he had never been born." Then finally, Judas the traitor spoke up and asked him, "Teacher, perhaps it is I." Jesus answered, "You said it." Now, with the exception of Judas, all the disciples told Jesus that he got it wrong, they weren't going to betray him, and they said that when he prophesied his death too. And I can imagine that all the disciples are happy and safe, that Jesus is all that they need. Life is good, they are happy, nothing is required of them. Giving your life to Jesus is easy when there's nothing to lose. So I'm going to skip the Lord's Supper, verses 26 through 30. I'm going to come back to that at the end. I'm picking up in verse 31. Along the way, Jesus said to them, "Before the night is over, you will all desert me." This will fulfill the prophecy of the scripture that says, "I'll strike down the shepherd and all the sheep will scatter far and wide. But after I am risen, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and I will meet you there." Then Peter spoke up and said, "Even if all the rest lose their faith and fall away, I will still be beside you, Jesus." "Are you sure, Peter?" Jesus said. "In fact, before the rooster crows a few hours from now, you will have denied me three times." Peter replied, "I will absolutely never deny you, even if I have to die with you." And all the others said the same thing. Now, I can't say for sure, but I'm going to say that Peter was Jesus' very best friend. I'm going to prove that in a minute. Scripture says that Jesus was very close to all of his disciples, but it seems to me that Peter was very offended at the notion of betraying Jesus and wanted to make it clear that even if everyone else did, he wasn't going to betray him. Later in the garden, Jesus specifically picks Peter out to intercede with him. giving him one more chance to hold true to his word. And since they were so close of friends, I'm sure that Jesus wanted his best friend's support. But that's just me reading in between the lines. Continuing in verse 36, then Jesus led his disciples to an orchard called the oil press. He told them, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." Then he took Peter, Jacob, and John with him. However, an intense feeling of great sorrow plunged his soul into deep sorrow and agony, and he said to them, "My heart is overwhelmed and crushed with grief. It feels as though I'm dying. Stay here and keep watch with me." Then he walked a short distance away, and overcome with grief, he threw himself face down on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if there's any way you can deliver me from this suffering, please take it from me. Yet what I want is not important, for I only desire to fulfill your plan for me." Then an angel came from heaven, appeared to strengthen him. Later he came back to his three disciples and found them all sound asleep. He awakened Peter and said to him, "Do you lack the strength to stay awake with me even for just an hour? Keep alert and pray that you will be spared from this time of testing. You should have learned by now that your spirit is eager enough, but your humanity is weak." Then he left him for a second time to pray in solitude. He said to God, "My Father, if there is not a way that you can deliver me from this suffering, then your will must be done." He came back to the disciples and found them sound asleep, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. So he left and went away to pray the same prayer for the third time. And when he returned again to his disciples, he awoke them, saying, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Don't you know the hour has come for the Son of Man to be handed over to the authority of sinful men? Get up and let's go, for the betrayer has arrived." So after the Passover, Jesus took all of his friends to the garden, and he took Peter, Jacob, and John, his three closest friends, with him deeper into the garden. He asked them three to pray with him, to give him support, and keep watch with him, and then he retreated a short distance away to pray. We see that as soon as Jesus asked something from his friends, they fell asleep and ignored the request. Three times Jesus went to see if they were keeping watch with him, and three times they were asleep. The book of Matthew says that Jesus woke up Peter specifically. Jesus was trying desperately to partner with Peter, but Peter was sleeping. Continuing in verse 47, at that moment Judas, his once trusted disciple, appeared, along with a large crowd of men armed with swords and clubs. They had been sent to arrest Jesus by order of the ruling priests and Jewish religious leaders. Now Judas the traitor had arranged to give them a signal that would identify Jesus, for he had told them, "Jesus is the one whom I will kiss, so grab him." Judas quickly stepped up to Jesus and said, "Shalom, Rabbi," and he kissed him on both cheeks. "My beloved friend," Jesus said, "is this why you've come?" Then the armed men seized Jesus to arrest him, but one of the disciples pulled out a dagger and swung it at the servant of the high priest, slashing off his ear. Jesus said to him, "Put your dagger away, for all those who embrace violence will die by violence. Don't you realize that I could ask my heavenly Father for angels to come at any time to deliver me, and instantly he would come answer me by sending 12 armies of the angelic host to come and protect us? But that would thwart the prophetic plan of God, for it has been written that it would happen this way." Then Jesus turned to the mob and said, "Why wouldn't you arrest me with swords and clubs? Why would you arrest me with swords and clubs as though I were an outlaw? Day after day I sat in the temple courts with you, teaching the people, yet you didn't arrest me. But all of this fulfills the prophecies of the scripture." At that point, all of his disciples ran away and abandoned him. So not only did all of his friends deny him, but they all ran away and abandoned him. The book of John says that the disciple who cut off the ear of the servant of the priest was Peter. To which I say, too little, too late, Peter. Jumping to verse 69. Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard when a servant girl came up to him and said, "I recognize you. You were with Jesus the Galilean." In front of everyone, Peter denied it and said, "I don't have a clue what you're talking about." Later, he stood near the gateway of the courtyard. Another servant girl noticed him and said, "I know this man is a follower of Jesus, the Nazarene." Once again, Peter denied it, and with an oath, he said, "I tell you, I don't know the man." A short time later, those standing nearby approached Peter and said, "We know you're one of his disciples. We can tell by your speech. Your Galilean accent gives you away." Peter denied it, and using profanity, he said, "I don't know the man." At the very moment, the sound of a crowing rooster pierced the night, and Peter remembered the prophecy of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times." With a shattered heart, Peter went out of the courtyard, sobbing bitter tears. Not only did Peter deny even knowing Jesus, but his countenance changed to the point where it didn't look like he had spent the last 3 years with Jesus, learning from him. I say all of this to say this. Communion is an invitation. While eating the Passover, Jesus gave all of his friends the opportunity to accept a beautiful invitation of intimacy and partnership. The same invitation is extended to us every time we take communion. I wonder what would have happened if the disciples accepted the invitation that night. What would the night in the garden have looked like? And what would our lives look like if we accepted that invitation every day? So, to sum up, one, the communion invitation is easy to accept when life is easy and you just get to follow Jesus around. The communion invitation isn't supposed to make life easy. It's supposed to make life a partnership with the Lord, no matter life's circumstances. Two, the will of the Lord is to partner with his children. As we grow in the Lord and make the communion invitation more and more a part of our lives, the Lord will give us more opportunities to partner with him. Jesus invited his closest friends to intercede with him in the garden, and Jesus is always looking for chances to partner with us. Three, when rough times come, and they will, the communion invitation is more important than ever. We see that Peter royally messed up by falling asleep, chopping off ears, and cursing and swearing that he didn't know Jesus, and he did that all within 12 hours. Judas Iscariot always gets the blame for denying and betraying Jesus, but all the disciples betrayed and deserted him. When the persecution and pressure get real, the Lord wants to partner with us then too. Okay, so now we're going to take the elements. We'll start in the back row. You guys can come up the sides and go up the middle. You guys know the drill. And then we'll come back right after that. All right, so now I'm going back to Matthew 26, starting in verse 26. As they ate, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples. And he said to them, "This is my body, eat it." Then, taking the cup of wine and giving praises to the Father, he entered into covenant with them, saying, "This is my blood. Each of you must drink it in fulfillment of the covenant. For this is the blood that seals the new covenant. It will be poured out for many for the complete forgiveness of sins. The next time we drink this, I will be with you, and we'll drink it together with a new understanding in the kingdom realm of my Father." Lord, we thank you for the communion invitation. We thank you that you're always looking for chances to partner with us. And no matter how many times we deny you and run away, you're a good father and you chase us back down. We thank you that you're always looking for opportunities to partner with us. We thank you that you didn't make life easy. We thank you that we get to every hardship and every trial and every valley that comes our way, we get another opportunity to partner with you. Lord, we thank you for communion and what a gift it is and what it reminds us of and the opportunity that it gives us. Lord, let us not take that lightly. In your name, amen.